This is an ABC podcast.
I've seen this movie before. That one ends in tears. I can tell you exactly what happened.
It's early days.
They don't get it and they don't seem to care.
People warned me that there would be dirty tricks, but this is next level.
A government that is bitterly divided.
We've got to raise the standards of journalism a little bit here.
Hello and welcome to The Party Room. I'm Fran Kelly from RN Breakfast.
And I'm Patricia Carvelis from RN Drive.
And PK, I didn't expect to run into you here in Double Bay.
Isn't everyone in Wentworth, Fran? It's all people are talking about. Come on, it's all about Wentworth. I've pretty much just parked myself in Double Bay for a couple of weeks. I'm just going to see how things go here.
Je suis Wentworth, me too. And you brought your bag of dirty tricks along? There's a few of them floating around.
Oh, what a week. So it's been, I think it's fair to say, without any exaggeration, a cluster of a week for the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the Coalition. And this is the week that they didn't need a cluster. It's the week, of course, before the Wentworth by-election. It's the week that they needed to go smoothly, and it's been blunder after blunder. Let's start at the beginning. There was the Religious Freedoms Review and the debate over the treatment of gay students, and then it became about teachers, the backflip over the GST guarantee, pressure on asylum seekers and the New Zealand solution. Then a thought bubble suggestion that our embassy in Israel might be moved to Jerusalem, which, of course, angered our most important neighbour, or one of our most important neighbours, I think it's fair to say, Indonesia. And then the Environment Minister insulting one of the Pacific's great statesmen. And, well, there was that motion about being white and, oh, there's the Nationals imploding.
Whoa, that's a lot of action. Some of those things listed there are quite simply damage control from the government. Others, well, let's just pause on the it's okay to be white motion, because it was a small moment in the Senate this week, but what a moment. This was a motion put forward by One Nation leader Pauline Hanson, basically on the face of it, to decry racism for black, white or brindle was the quote. But the message was that things have swung too far. White males are the most discriminated class of people in Australia right now, hence that tagline, it's okay to be white. The government voted for it. It almost passed on the votes of the government. It seems like nobody in the government twigged that it's okay to be white is a far-right national slogan. You know, we're talking like neo-Nazis here, people. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General, Christian Porter, once they realised what had happened, blamed an administrative error in his office. And then the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, he was pretty contrite the next day.
When this motion was first raised in September, the government made a clear decision to oppose this motion and to make a statement that as a government we deplore racism in any kind. That is a decision that should have been maintained yesterday, and as a result of an administrative process failure it wasn't, and that is regrettable and I take responsibility.
Okay, that was a position that should have been maintained. It wasn't, and he's sorry about that, PK. Sorry? Or just sorry they got caught?
Ah, oh, what a breathtaking thing to happen. I don't have words, but I am paid for words, so I'm about to come up with some. Don't worry. Don't fret. Look, you know what? That night, and I watched this incredibly closely, and I spoke to so many senators about what actually happened here. Many of them told me straight away, no, we didn't ever know what we were voting for. In fact, I thought we were against this motion. We'd made a decision to be against this motion, which they had. So they claimed that they were in there just kind of voting like sheep. That's what, you know.
And that's bad enough, that admission. They didn't know what they were voting
for. That's right. But look, I think political parties do go in and expect that, that there's unified positions and you kind of just stand on one side.
The bells ring,
whatever.
You run in,
that's
you
right.
vote.
That's right. Yeah. You're like, okay, so I do believe some of them, I can't identify which, but some of them did just kind of run in and go, oh, just standing with these guys. But broadly, that night, we had Matthias Cormann, we had Christian Porter essentially defending the vote on Twitter. I mean, there's evidence because they tweeted and they said, we're against all racism. So that, they were clarifying what it meant. But that's, we voted for this because we're against all racism. But the fact is, Fran, if you're voting for a motion which has been penned, has been drafted by Pauline Hanson, the leader of the One Nation Party, a woman I think who's well known for perhaps, not generally moving motions against racism in the way that people understand racism, which is that, people of colour are discriminated disproportionately. We know this to be historically true. Then you'd twig, wouldn't you? You'd go, hang on a minute. it's a Pauline Hanson motion. It seems a little unusual to me that she would be denouncing racism the way we denounce racism. Wouldn't you kind of go, this is unusual?
Well, I think that would do it if it didn't do it. Now, I wasn't in the chamber, but I think senators from other parties, the crossbench, for instance, didn't they speak out against this? I'm pretty sure I heard Senator Darren Hinch stand up and speak strongly against it. So even if those government senators who came in and just sort of stood on the side that they were sent to vote the way they were told to, wouldn't they have been a bit alarmed by some of the things they were hearing in the debate?
Exactly. So then we got the big backtrack, the big mop up, the sorry, 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 you know, mistake, administrative error. Now, even if we were to believe that it was entirely an administrative error, why would a government, a competent government, make such an error? It's not competent. I mean, at the very least, it is not a competent act. It's so embarrassing, and it's the last thing they needed before Wentworth.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? So you're kind of inclined to. I'm kind of inclined to think it was a stuff up because you just wouldn't vote for this. It's okay to be white slogan the week before Wentworth. Wentworth is a small L Liberal progressive electorate. You know, the government's so attuned to Wentworth right now, it's taking all sorts of actions to try and avoid being wedged. You know, we saw that on religious protections in schools, for instance. So, you know, they wouldn't have done this, I think, without it being a stuff up.
Yeah, look, it is a stuff up now because they've stuffed up and they've had to apologise. But either way, pretty toxic message. Let's just be clear. They asked for it to be re-voted on so that they could vote against it. So we've got this other issue that's played out at the start of the week on the gay issue, the religious freedoms. I do think that that's been a pretty important one too. Labor went one step ahead on that one and said, hang on a minute. If we're going to say that discrimination is not okay, if we've got unity because the Prime Minister shifted his position on students, that no school, no religious school can discriminate against gay students, then why should their teachers be discriminated against? Now, this was a big shift for Labor because, you know, the Coalition is right. Labor did maintain those discriminatory provisions, those exemptions, when they redrafted this legislation, I think, in 2013. So, you know, this is true that Labor did support this and has shifted. And, you know, it sort of changed the debate quite substantially. Another own goal, I think, for the Religious Freedom Review, which has so far delivered fewer freedoms for religious institutions and more rights for gay people, which is probably not the way they imagined it.
No, only because it was leaked in the run-up to Wentworth, though. If Wentworth hadn't been, the Wentworth by-election hadn't been in the offing and the government wasn't under that pressure, it probably wouldn't have been leaked and it wouldn't have had that impact. This is, the government has only backtracked to protect gay students or LGBT plus students in this because they know how this will be received and perceived in Wentworth, don't you reckon?
Oh, 100%. That's clearly 100%. And look, I spoke to Labor people who, you know, had, after they made this pretty substantial, I think, shift where they also were arguing against the discrimination on teachers as well, who said, you know, this is the week where we can make this shift because let's not pretend this is an easy issue inside of Labor. This is not an easy issue inside of Labor.
Well,
that's why they had these exemptions maintained.
I don't know, though. I mean, I'm a little bit compelled by the argument from Labor that, you know, that position 5 years ago, yes, was their position, but the community has come a long way. Like, the community came a long way on same-sex marriage. 5 years ago, there wasn't majority support more broadly in Australia for that, but the shift was quite substantial and quite quick when it came.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's the same here.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about it. And if you look at that Ipsos polling that showed that, you know, people would largely against discrimination when it pertained to teachers as well. I think that, you know, there is some evidence. It's just a poll, to be clear, but still there is some now evidence that there has been a shift. But either way, Labor could also go there because of Wentworth. And that's your point. That's why we're here in Double Bay having our lattes, because ultimately it's all in the optics of this election, this small L Liberal electorate that has allowed everyone to go to these places. And one Labor person described Wentworth this way to me, and I'm sure you've heard this because it's not, you know, an original thought, but it's an interesting parallel that for the Liberals, Wentworth is their Batman. Now, remember, Batman is the one that Jed Carney won, but was really under pressure from the Greens and had it pushed Labor to the left on many issues. Jed
on
Carney,
asylum seekers in particular.
Right. And here, the same issue has happened with the Liberal Party. They've had to capitulate and change and, you know, do triple backflips on several issues now because Wentworth is a small L Liberal electorate as well.
It's so complex. Complex too, what is actually going on there, because the polls are all over the place. Everyone experienced in the art of polling, and that is certainly not me, suggests it's really tricky to get any kind of real integrity in a poll in one seat like this for various reasons. We had Anthony Green, the ABC's election analyst, explaining that to me on breakfast. And the polls seem a bit dodgy to me. Nevertheless, you know, they certainly are closing and they certainly are swinging the way of the high-profile independent Karen Phelps. So that seems to me a perfect note to introduce our guest, Peter Van Onselen. What do you reckon?
Let's do it. Peter Van Onselen is a columnist for The Australian and, well, he's hanging out in Wentworth quite a bit. In fact, he lives there. Hi, Peter.
Good to be with you. How are you?
APVO.
Oh, look, all right.
G'day, friend.
We're good. We're hanging out in Wentworth. The whole world's hanging out in Wentworth and we're just sort of thought
except
we'd
for
get
Malcolm Turnbull.
Well, except for Malcolm Turnbull. He's a local. You're a local. You've been in and around, I know, having coffees at Bondi, Tamarama, Double Bay, Potts Point, the whole thing. Peter, the coalition is pulling out all stops to try and get this win in Wentworth, which, you know, a few weeks ago they would have felt pretty confident about, I reckon. Mm. But the big moment this week, really the big banana of all announcements, was this highly controversial foreign policy announcement that Australia is considering moving our Israeli embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Donald Trump did that in May. Violent protests broke out across the Middle East in response. There's only the US, one other country, and now Australia's considering it. Scott Morrison wants to do it, it seems, or does he?
Well, who knows? And the big question for me is whether he is only doing this or largely doing this because of the Wentworth by-election. If that's the case, and it's that sort of marketing strategy, it's pretty flawed because, firstly, Jewish voters aren't homogenous. They don't all have one view on whether the Australian embassy should be moved to Jerusalem. But more importantly, even those that might be more inclined in that direction, particularly, for example, Jewish people who are more religious, it's Shabbos this Saturday. They've all pre-polled because they're not voting. Yeah. So if they've pre-polled, they've made their mind up before Scott Morrison's even made the decision.
And if he's not doing it because of the timing of the Wentworth, then why on earth would you do it
exactly
now when it's going to be seen in that prism? We've got the independent candidate, Karen Phelps, basically describing it as a foreign policy thought bubble. You know, totally denigrates it and writes expediency in capital letters all over Scott Morrison's forehead, doesn't it?
He can't win because if it's purely strategic for Wentworth, it's A, lowbrow politics, and B, not very good anyway for the reason I just mentioned around the religious side of it and the timing with who votes. If he hasn't done it for that reason, Fran, as you say, then it's silly politics. Just hold off, do it after Wentworth. There's no logic to why he'd go down this path. I think one of the most damning aspects, of course, is that Julie Bishop has taken a vow of silence ever since this has happened. You can imagine what she thinks. We know the Secretary of DFAT's on the record saying that this is a bad idea.
We know what Julie Bishop thought 3 months ago.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, so we're just going to join the dots. And of course, you know, these WhatsApp messages that were leaked to Channel 7 between Maurice Payne and her counterpart in Indonesia, because Indonesia has been very angry, have been absolutely toxic. I mean, that just really shows just what a controversial decision and what a risky decision it is in terms of our place in this region too, right, PVO?
Absolutely, how layered the complexity of it is. And look, a classic example, I think this is a classic example of a new foreign minister, assuming that Maurice Payne was well on board with Scott Morrison and it wasn't too much of a captain's pick, as well as a new prime minister from a background that is quite different to foreign affairs, let's face it. It's a complex field. You know, we see a lot of people when they first get into that area stumble as leaders or indeed as foreign ministers. The world's most populous Islamic country is Indonesia. They're our closest trading partner. They're a major trading partner where we've just done this new deal. And of course, they're the only overseas power that Scott Morrison has already visited, the first one that he visited. So they are
one of our most important strategic relationships.
Absolutely. And including for one of the things that the government likes to crow about, which is its capacity to stop the boats.
Yeah. And let's just dwell on the fact that the WhatsApp messages between the two foreign ministers were leaked.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that
happen? Yeah, I know. Just wow, that's a very big deal. I mean, of course, any leak is a big deal, but a leak like that between foreign ministers is, I think, and I've, you know, been watching this stuff for a while, and I reckon you two would agree, incredibly unusual, isn't it?
I think it's actually more damaging almost than the actual ruminating of moving the embassy, frankly.
It certainly shows bad faith. And just on the whole thing of moving the embassy, I mean, let's not go into a big Middle East policy discussion here about the two-state solution, but Gareth Evans, one of Australia's longest-running foreign ministers, observed this week that one of the golden rules of diplomacy is that you don't give away a prize like this without getting something in return. Mm. And Australia has made no demands of Israel or the Palestinians in terms of the peace process. So, yes, Scott Morrison is saying we are behind a two-state solution, we are behind the peace process. But then he's done this, which, of course, has been received as it has by a largely Muslim country like Indonesia and the Middle East.
And I would have thought that if there was any element of the complexities of foreign affairs that Scott Morrison, with his background, might be more au fait with as a former state director in New South Wales for the Liberal Party, it is this idea of don't give something away without getting something back. I mean, in that role, he would have had preference negotiations and all sorts of political strategic manoeuvring. I'm surprised that he wouldn't have realised in this sphere that that's something that he should have considered.
Now, this general campaign around Wentworth, we're recording this Thursday morning, depends when people listen, but you know, you might be listening and there's already a result, but all of these issues have played so strongly. It's been a really ugly campaign. In fact, it's got really ugly really quickly at the end too. Opponents of Karen Phelps, who is openly gay, stepped it up a notch, I think, with an email saying she was pulling out of the campaign because she had HIV and directing people to support Dave Sharma. Now, let's be clear here. The Liberals say they have nothing to do with this email, but it's a pretty extraordinary thing, isn't it, PVO, to send this out widely in an electorate, such an awful smear.
Oh, absolutely. And probably the thing that's most startling to Wentworth voters who are going to be making this all-important decision whether the Morrison government continues to have a majority in its own right or not is that they're not used to this. Mm. I mean, that sort of thing, that sort of smear, as awful as it is, goes on in marginal seats. You know, not often, but we do see it from election to election in these real battleground marginal seats. But Wentworth has never been that. It's the blue ribbon seat. It's the jewel in the crown of the Liberal Party and all the rest of it. So all of a sudden, that muck and murk is being confronted with people. And I can tell you, Wentworth voters that I've spoken to, people, anecdotally this is, of course, over the last X number of weeks, who are Liberal die-in-a-ditch voters, so many of them were originally talking about wanting to send a message to the Liberal Party because they didn't like what was done to Malcolm Turnbull. Then others were wanting to send a message based on gender about not picking a woman, even though Dave Sharma is an excellent candidate. Mm. They wanted to send that message. And now a number just in the last few days, as some of this muck has come out, have made it very clear they want to now send a message that they don't like that kind of campaigning. They're not used to it. They don't like it. And I think it has more chance of backfiring. And I'm not just talking about the really bad stuff, but I'm even talking about reactions to just old-fashioned negative political campaigning in a key marginal seat, painting Dr. Phelps in a bad light, you know, picking the ugly photo where she's looking dark and evil. They're not used to that. They're just not used to that, and they don't like it.
And, Peter, it's all been about Wentworth, but there were a few breakouts that were nothing to do with Wentworth this week that caused major problems for the government, major distractions. PK and I have already spoken about the Pauline Hanson slogan, it's okay to be white, that brouhaha. And then there was the story that the Environment Minister, Melissa Price, insulted the former president of Kiribati, Anote Tong. She was out to dinner in a Canberra restaurant, and apparently she said to him, "I know why you're here. It's for the cash. Oh, for the Pacific, it's always about the cash. I have my checkbook here. How much do you want?" Now, this was a bit of casual chatter when she wandered over to say hello. I've spoken to people who were at that table. They say that is absolutely what she said. They say the minister wasn't drunk, she wasn't joking when she said it, and they were appalled. Now, I spoke to Anote Tong on the radio. He said he was a bit further down the table and he's very hard of hearing, which I actually think is true, and he's also clearly not really wanting to get in the middle of this. But what a disaster.
Yeah, look, that again, timing couldn't be worse in a week where they're having so many other problems ahead of such an important by-election. But away from all of that, it's just poor form by Melissa Price. And I'm surprised. I mean, she's somebody that I've advocated for promotion when I thought that there weren't enough women getting promoted in the Liberal Party. She's gotten her chance suddenly in the dying days of this government. She's the Environment Minister now. She's in Cabinet. She's had an incredibly successful pre-parliamentary career at a corporate level. I'm surprised she would be that silly and have that view if it wasn't a joke, even if it was a bad joke.
Well, that's right. As I say, people at the table said they didn't think they were certain she wasn't joking. So why would she say it? They see it as a reflection of the tone in the government at the moment around around attacks over emissions
and
climate change.
That's it, and I can see
that. And the Pacific, which the Pacific feels like the government is not very respectful towards them at the moment.
And I don't know Melissa Price very well, but... You know, she's a West Australian, and I guess having spent a bit of time in Western Australia, I can say this without West Australians turning on me. There is more ambit in Western Australia for people being borderline inappropriate if they're trying to be funny or if they're trying to be relaxed away from a formal setting. Now, I'm not trying to defend her remotely on this, but I'm just wondering whether the conflation of those elements, inexperience caught in a moment that she thought was private, a joke gone wrong, and then a lack of experience in this particular field have all come together with, as you say, Fran, the whole issue around climate change as well, in a hothouse environment where the government has pressure at the moment. Who knows?
And that's right. And let's also remind people, back to Wentworth, because we're hanging out in Double Bay. Do you like how I keep riffing on that? But just trying to make the point that, that climate change issue, and we've got the Prime Minister, the ex-Prime Minister, not my fault, things change too quickly, people, but Malcolm Turnbull's son, Alex Turnbull, that's been campaigning on the issues of climate change, advocating a vote against the Liberal Party throughout the whole week, you know, right before Wentworth, just throwing bombs, boom, 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 into this campaign. Another few things happen. They're worth mentioning just to build this story of what a terrible week it's been. GST, the government decides, we're going to guarantee blank check to all the states. We're going to guarantee through this new funding model that they won't be worse off. Remember, they were saying, we're not going to write a blank check. Well, they seem to have changed their mind. I know that you must feel very strongly about that, PVO, given your views on this. Blank check. Do you want to give us a check? Because they're going to give anyone a check.
Where do you even start? You know, I mean, this is you don't have enough time in this podcast for me to offer my views about
the idea
of a government offering a blank check, particularly when economics is the last thing it's got going for it, in theory at least, according to opinion poll surveys.
But if you thought that looked desperate as the government tried to get that particular barnacle off the whatever it is, what's the bottom of a ship called?
Yeah, goodbye,
the
barnacle.
The hull, gone. Off the hull, ahead of Wentworth, but probably ahead of the general election. I mean, you know, that kind of pales into insignificance by that Jerusalem announcement we were talking about, the embassy announcement. So the government's just scaling up. And
but wait, guys, there's more.
But once we talked about, you know, Scott Morrison putting out an announcement a day, keeping the momentum, keeping control of the agenda, well, I think that's run really badly amuck for him.
Look,
this week.
I wrote online for The Oz this week about, you know, Scott Morrison being our first marketing PM. I think he's actually our first marketing leader of a major political party at the federal level. Some people like to question, particularly on social media, whether he was any good at the marketing when he was at Tourism Australia. Exactly. But I tell you what, I think this is what happens when marketing runs the country. You know, it's about the day-to-day, but ultimately you don't even necessarily win the day-to-day fights. Kevin Rudd didn't come from a marketing background, but he fell victim to that style of politicking. It got him in the end, but it took a lot longer to get him. And of course, he didn't come in the way that Scott Morrison did. Mm. So he came in a difficult position. But it's really been a bad week for Morrison. And I don't know if you've talked about this before I got here, but throw in the problems with the National Party now, which are unfolding as we speak, and I think will unfold during the course of the parliamentary week after the Wentworth vote. Wow. You know, there is so much going on that's not good for this government.
Well, that's right. And, you know, as one MP said to me, you know, it's this ongoing issue where it's all tactical. You know, there's basically the consensus is broken down, values have broken down. This is all just about the next news cycle, but it's not even tonight's news. It's the next hour. I mean, it's just sometimes so short-sighted. You don't feel like they're zooming back at all. They're trying to, you know, make sure that they go a little faster, but they're getting some of the calls incredibly wrong as a result.
Absolutely. And the problem is, you touched on this, Patricia, they don't know what they stand for. Mm. I mean, they're a conservative political party, okay? Moderates like me might not like that if you look at them and want them to have more policy scripts in that direction. But as conservatives, what you're supposed to at least do is defend institutions, be slow and be prudent when you make change. They're not doing that. They don't defend institutions, they tear them down. We've seen that across debates around climate change and around changing prime ministers. And they're also not being prudent and slow. They're being knee-jerk in their reactions.
But isn't that because of the transactional cost of the last prime ministerial change? We've got a new prime minister. He's only got 7 months to the next election. He needs to get the electorate to know him. He needs to get control of an agenda that he feels some confidence in, hence the pace, hence the mistakes. He's also got still a divided party. And now, as if things weren't bad enough, we've now got a leadership spill perhaps looming in the Nats, in the coalition partners.
But wait, there's more, guys. There's a leadership challenge.
That's right. Exactly.
And look, and don't stop there, by the way.
And that is real, I think. That is potentially very real.
It's real. I've had some conversations today, being Thursday, and it is real. Whether it manifests is another matter, but it is absolutely real. And it is being driven by the LNP. And I tell you what.
In Queensland.
Absolutely, in Queensland. And there is a real chance that depending on where this goes, not just in the short term, but in the medium term, and even if they're in opposition, for example, that the LNP split from the Nationals and from the Liberals and sit in their own party room, which means they're big enough that they get the deputy leader in opposition or indeed the deputy prime minister in government. That is real. Now, the irony of that is that Barnaby Joyce couldn't be that candidate now because he's no longer
a
Queenslander. But that is how serious this is. Now, you know, that's not a prediction because it might not happen because cooler heads might prevail. But I tell you what, that is absolutely on the agenda.
Oh, yeah. And Michael McCormack, I mean, we've all clearly established this on our own. It's not just other people's reporting. We've made our own calls. I can say that this is based on my own research that Michael McCormack has really lost a lot of support in the Nationals party room. It's very much on. Of course, there's a complication. The Senate is not sitting next week. It's estimates. So it's a very difficult period, I think, for how they can actually have this national spill potentially. And we saw last time they're not particularly good at it, the Nats. So, you know, it's just the logistics around it.
It's a side discussion, though, isn't it? But I tell you what, it's fascinating that they actually think that their one-time great retail politician, Barnaby Joyce, is rehabilitated.
I was going to say, I think there's a complication in that Barnaby Joyce hasn't been in the wilderness for very long.
No, they're looking at an athlete that used to win gold medals who is now well and truly past their prime and there's no point in bringing them in.
They tell me, you know, you guys all say that, but at the end of the day, he still can fill a room, he can still fundraise. We are...
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? It's all relative compared to McCormick.
Enough of the Nats. Let's come back to Double Bay, the cafe, the Wentworth by-election. As I say, some of you listening might be all over by the time you hear this, but then you'll know whether PVO is going to be right.
No, that's such an unfair way to make a prediction.
Cruel.
I'm going to give a prediction with a caveat, so don't accuse me of sitting on the fence. The prediction is that Phelps wins. I think Karen Phelps will win. I think the primary vote for Dave Sharma will be too low to ultimately get him there despite leakages away from Karen Phelps. My only caveat is that there is a chance, I don't think this will happen because that's my prediction, but there is a chance that there is such a dispersed vote on first preferences that because the Greens are preferencing Labor, not Phelps, and because other minor party candidates who don't like Karen Phelps are not directing preferences to her, so some voters might direct them to the Greens and Labor ahead of Phelps, there is a chance that she gets unlucky and she isn't left in the last two when it comes down to Sharma and one other, and Labor bumps ahead of her. If that happens, Sharma probably gets the seat, ironically, on Phelps' preferences. That's the only caveat to me thinking Phelps will win.
Hey, PVO, always good to hang out with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, Fran, it's trading preferences time. What have you got for us?
Well, it's Wentworth. Alex Turnbull, we mentioned him in the podcast, Malcolm Turnbull's son. He lives in Singapore, but he's having a huge say in the Wentworth by-election. He started off, before the campaign was even called, before the date was even called, backing the Labor candidate, Tim Murray, urging people to give their funds to Tim Murray. Don't forget, this is Malcolm Turnbull's son. And then, in the dying days of the campaign, he switched and he's saying, give your vote to Karen Phelps, but this is my trading preference. And he's actually deleted this tweet. But Alex Turnbull has then said, got to say, after a solid couple of weeks of wrecking, undermining and sniping, I feel ya, at Tony Abbott. It's pretty funny. I thought that was pretty funny. He's taken that down, but hey, you can never take it down forever from everywhere.
You can't. He's completely owned it, hasn't he, that he's sniping, undermining and had a bit of a dig at Tony Abbott. Yes,
He's had a high profile in this campaign, shall we say. PK,
very high profile. Yes.
What about you? What's your favourite moment?
All right, well, there's been a lot of moments, but I do like that Darren Hinch, he's a senator, he's been quite outspoken this week, particularly on the It's OK to Be White vote, where he kind of really called it out and really tried to shame Liberal and National MPs who voted for it. But, this is all probably, it depends when you're listening, emerging all this Barnaby coming back as Nationals leader and the Nationals in crisis. But Darren Hinch has maintained his original role as a good reporter. Of course, let's not forget that Darren Hinch was a journalist his entire life, a radio presenter. He's tweeted, Barnaby watch. He's lurking around National senators' offices on our side of the building again this morning. He's watching Barnaby, seeing, you know, how he's doing his numbers, or alleging that he's doing his numbers. Let's be clear, Barnaby's saying, I'm not doing any numbers. You know, I'd be drafted, but that's about it. But either way, watch Darren Hinch, because if you want updates, that guy's in there. He's a senator and he's not afraid to tell you what he's seeing.
Barnaby Watch, I love it. That's it from us. You can email us anytime. You can send us your thoughts, thepartyroom@abc.net.au. You can tweet us using the hashtag thepartyroom. And please, please, please tell your friends about us and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because it helps more people find the Party Room.
As always, you can hear more political analysis and interviews from us every day, every weekday, that is 6 a.m. with Fran, 6 p.m. with me on Radio National. And we, of course, will bring you everything you need to know about Wentworth on RM Breakfast and Drive next week, and in the Party Room next week as well.
The wash up from Wentworth.
Certainly.
Okay, PK.
You got a song?
I've got a song. Have I got a song? Now, the only story in town, if you haven't noticed from this week, is Wentworth. There's no song, PK, that I could think of that said Wentworth, but there is a theme song from the TV show Prisoner. Remember Prisoner? Set where? In Wentworth Prison. So, with a lot of help from sound engineers and musos Russell Stapleton and Stephen Tilley, this is our version for the Wentworth by-election of the theme song from Prisoner.
I love it already. See you, Fran.
See you, PK.
It used to be a safe seat. How I wish it were again. But with Malcolm on the outside, Wentworth's not the same. Now we'll try to win with Sharma. Karen Phelps is gaining ground. What will be the price of karma when Wentworth comes around? On the upside, the neg is gone. Religious freedom's locked away. But that doctor, she's a local, independent Jewish gay. On the east side, and embassies to move.
It will be a close by-election, there's no doubt about it, and you know, my job is to convince as many people in Wentworth that they'd be better served by preserving a one-seat majority for the Morrison government rather than risking a hung parliament with a balance of power controlled by independents.
There's been this misinformation campaign about instability and uncertainty, and we all know that the instability was created by Tony Abbott, Peter Dutton and Scott Morrison.
With the Liberal Party, you know what you're going to get. With the Labor Party, you never know what you're going to get. And with independents, you certainly don't know what you're ever going to get.
We see just how desperate Scott Morrison is to hold on to the seat of Wentworth. Floating a change in Liberal foreign policy.
This is not a new argument I've been making. I'm on the public record, having said that Australia should be considering this for some time.
It's like the good old box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
The Liberal Party is spending, reported, over $1 million on this campaign. And
he's just posturing ahead of a by-election that he is desperate to win in order to hold on to a slim majority.
Thank you.